Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
So my goal was to do a series on the book of Proverbs, and we in 3 weeks have made it through 7 verses. And by the end of tonight, we will have only made it through 2 more verses. With that said, the week after next, Jordan Wilkes, who's sitting right back there, is going to be bringing the word. You guys don't want to miss that. In a couple weeks, I've asked him to come and share the word, and I can't wait to hear what the Lord has put on his heart. So we're going to wrap up Proverbs chapter 1 next week, and it's just going to be a series on Proverbs chapter 1 instead of the whole book. So that's just kind of how things fly sometimes and go. And anyways, so we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1 tonight. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 to kind of catch up to speed with where we are. Last week, obviously, we were getting ready for Trail of Treats. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody that helped out with Trail of Treats in any shape, form, or fashion. I believe that people were truly ministered to. I think we said this on Sunday morning, but over half the people that came through the line responded to prayer and were open to being prayed with that night. And that is just absolutely amazing that we got the opportunity to pour into people and to pray with them and just minister. So, We're going to jump back in here to Proverbs chapter 1. So let's read this together. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I believe it was Matthew Henry that said, "A fool is simply a person that has no stomach for wisdom or has no desire for wisdom." They don't, you know, you're not foolish because you don't know. You're foolish because you don't want to know is basically the root of that. That every one of us are born into sin, and we're born with a base knowledge, and we have to learn, we have to grow. And the only way that we grow out of foolishness, which the fool has said in his heart that there is no God, the only way that we grow out of foolishness is, number one, by the grace of God, but number two, by desiring, I want to learn. I told you guys a few weeks ago when we talked about this, you have two choices to make. There's a Y in the road. You can choose to be a student or you can choose to be stupid. The choice is yours. And we get to decide, do I want to remain stupid, right? Or do I want to become a student of the word and a student of the way of following Jesus Christ? As you go and you read the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, some people don't view them this way, but I do. They're biographies of the life of Jesus. They're telling us of what was going on, what was happening, who he was, how he lived, where he went, what he would teach, what he believed. And I think equally as important as what Jesus taught is what he did. And we should model the lifestyle of Jesus. And that's how we choose to be a student of his life, because Jesus is in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, right? And so we become a student of him, and so that we don't remain in our state of stupidity that we are all born into. So let's keep reading here in verses 8 and 9. This is kind of changing my Bible. I sometimes like how it will like break the chapter and give you different subjects. Sometimes I don't. In this case, I do like this because I really feel like 1 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 1 is Solomon explaining why he wrote all these Proverbs. You know, we talked about it a few weeks ago. I want to say it was like he wrote 3,000 songs and 9,000 Proverbs, and they're not all contained in the scripture. He's telling us why he wrote so much, why he was giving so much knowledge and wisdom is that he wanted wanted us to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to justice, judgment, equity, to give he wants to give prudence to the simple, all these things. But then verse 8 is when he begins to really get into the Proverbs and then giving his first instruction. So he says in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." So his first instruction given in Proverbs, because 1 through 7 are not instruction. They're the reason behind why he wrote all of these Proverbs collectively. Verses 8 and 9 are his first instruction. And he says, hear and do not forsake. So hear what I'm instructing you to do. Hear what I'm saying to you. And don't forsake the law of your mother, the instruction, what she's told you to do. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So let's pray tonight, and then we will break down these two verses and talk about what Solomon is saying here. So Father, we come before you this evening. Thank you that we get to be in your house. Thank you that we're people that you have chosen, you have called out of darkness into marvelous light. And I pray that tonight we would mix the word of God with faith, and it would go deep inside of our hearts, and we would be doers of the word and not hearers only, but that we would truly receive everything that you have prepared for us. God, I thank you that by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. And you created good works beforehand that we should walk into them. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would walk into everything that you have for us, not missing anything, but let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of our calling. Give us the spirit of wisdom. Let us not reject what you're saying, but receive what you're saying tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Just very quickly to recap, Proverbs, I love this. This is kind of what we've been going off of. A proverb is the art of saying much with little. I don't have that art. It takes me a long time and a lot of words to say what I feel like I need to say. But a proverb, there's so much truth condensed into one little saying. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. That is the art of saying a lot with very little. It communicates so much truth, so many things that are pertinent to life itself, that above all else, we need to put a guard on our heart. What's that saying? Filter what comes in so that you don't have to filter what comes out. Watch what's coming in, because it can defile what comes out of you. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but it's what comes out. But spiritually speaking, what goes inside of us, what we watch, what we listen to, what we give attention to, it will determine what comes out of us, because those things are seeds that are being planted in the very heart and in the very soul of ourselves. And so there's so much truth in these little sayings. And I believe that as we talked about a few weeks ago, there's different types of scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But you know, in the Old Testament, you have the Torah, you have the law, you have the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And then you have your historical books like Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Ezra, Nehemiah. Then you have your poetic books like Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Then you have your prophetic books, your major prophets and your minor prophets. And I'm coming to realize and understand that I should be reading this, and every single bit of it is true and it's profitable. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But how I read each book matters. Okay? I read Genesis differently than I read 1 Corinthians. I read Psalms differently than I read the book of Mark. I read Revelation completely differently than I read the book of Lamentations. Why? Because it's all scripture, but how I read it matters. How I decipher it matters. Because who were they writing to? What were they writing about? I like to say this all the time. The Bible was not written to you, but it was written for you. You should not be asking yourself, what does this mean to me? But what does this mean for me? What does God want me to learn and to gain and understand from this? And so how we read poetic scripture, which the book of Proverbs is, must be different than how we read historical scripture or biographical scripture or the epistles, because the writer is writing from a different place and he's using different language. They're all scripture, which was given for our learning, but how we handle the text and how we decipher it must be treated differently. Kind of like this. I don't cook a cake the same way I cook a steak. Come on, somebody. I love both of those things. I love steak. Steak is my favorite thing to eat. If I had to choose my last meal, it would be a ribeye cooked medium rare with a baked potato with butter, sour cream, salt, and pepper. And I would just devour that, and then I want a cake. What kind of cake, you say? I'll take a strawberry cake. I'll take a cheesecake. I'll take a caramel cake. I would like some cake. I love both of those things, okay? Cheesecake, is it a cake? We'll say it is. It has cake in the name. Therefore, it must be a cake. Cheesecake is my favorite cake. But I don't... So for Christmas every year, our tradition as a family is we eat steak and cheesecake. But I don't cook them the same way, right? The preparation is totally different. A steak must be treated with respect, okay? If you don't treat a steak with respect, we cannot be friends. It must be, if you are like soaking your steaks in Dale sauce, don't even talk to me. And I know there's people in here that do it. I know there's people in here. That's how my mom cooks steak, okay? If you do that, we're not friends, okay? Steak needs to be salt, pepper, garlic powder, seared in a hot cast iron for about 2-2.5 minutes aside, and then basted in butter with garlic and rosemary, okay? And then you let it rest for as long as you cooked it, okay? I just did some of you guys a favor. Try it sometime, okay? If you eat, one of my favorite things, I'm not on social media anymore, praise God. I'm better for it. But one of my favorite things I ever saw on Facebook was, well done is for good and faithful servants, not for steak. Okay. And I believe that to be true. But you don't cook a cake the same way you cook a steak. Like I said, I cook my steaks in cast iron, or sometimes I'll use a process called sous vide. I know Zach has a sous vide. Is a sous vide steak the best steak you've ever had? Praise God. So we could get into that. I'm not going to waste my time because I'm going to use the art of saying much with a little tonight. But I cook my steak in a cast iron, but you cook cakes where? In the oven. I don't cook them on the stovetop. In a cast iron. So my steak, I just need a little salt, pepper, garlic powder, fresh garlic, fresh rosemary, and some butter. But with a cake, you need flour, and you need sugar, and you need eggs, and you need milk, and you need vanilla extract, you need a touch of salt, right? So it's a completely different thing, but they're both good. They're both delicious, but they require a difference in how they're prepared. In the same way, we have to read Proverbs differently than we read Matthew. Or 1 Corinthians or Ephesians, because all scripture, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, is inspired by God and it's profitable for our life. So every word that you read in this book, it's inspired by God and it's profitable. Okay? Just like a steak is good and a cake is good. But I eat steak for the entree and cake for dessert, right? There's different uses for these things. So we're looking at Proverbs, which is a poetic book, and it's specifically a poetic book of wisdom. And I want to just look at verses 8 and 9 tonight, where Solomon begins by saying, my son. So that phrase, my son, means that it is written, if we just dissect it a little bit, it's written from a position of patriarchal authority. Okay, so he's writing to people that he is superior over. It could have been written to his biological son. He probably had plenty of them, considering his relations. You know what I'm saying? He probably had plenty of sons to go around. You know, my son, which one? It doesn't matter. Just bring one here. It's like on, what is that? What movie is it where the guy, the Dr. Seuss movie, he's got like 100 children. Horton hears a who, and they're on the table, and they're just rotating around, and he spends just a few seconds with each of them. That's what I imagine Solomon's breakfast table was like. But he says, my son, and it could have been a biological child, but more likely it's just written, Proverbs were written to a general audience, to anyone that would read it, to anyone that would hear it, and that would have been King Solomon showing, they would have seen him as a father figure, as a parental figure of wisdom and of civil authority, and in fact, teachers in Israel, still to this day, are often called fathers. People will call their children father. So it wouldn't be out of place for a teacher to call a pupil my son. So he's saying my son. It also is not just denoting authority, but it's also communicating affection and love. I care about the person that I'm talking to. I'm not just calling you my student or my slave or little unlearned one, but I'm calling you my son. fathers care about their sons. And so it's showing tender authority. So verses 1-7, as I said, are an explanatory outline for the purpose of Solomon's writings on wisdom. And they're the prologue. And verse 8 is the beginning of instruction. And this is interesting to me because, well, we're not going to get into that tonight, but the first instruction that Solomon gives in all of Proverbs is here. Here. That's the first instruction. The first thing I want you to do, my children, my son, is I want you to hear. Because you cannot do what you're supposed to do unless you first hear what you're supposed to do. My son, Bethel, he's my job in homeschooling. We have 5 children. 4 of them are homeschooling. And Madison has commissioned me to raise this boy in school. Why? I don't know. I was the worst student you have ever seen in school. I promise you that. Terrible. Hate school. I still hate school. In fact, I complain, and I know I just talked about complaining a few weeks ago. Judge me if you want. I don't care. I complain as much as Bethel does about school. Madison's like, okay, boys, it's time to do school. And Bethel and I just in unison are just like this going to the table and just having a bad attitude. And Bethel's like his dad. That's why his dad was tasked with schooling him. And where he doesn't want to listen to what he's supposed to do, he thinks he already knows what he's supposed to do, right? Like, today we were doing math. All right, bud, we're working on decimals and fractions. And he kept writing fractions as decimals and decimals as fractions. You know why? Because when I said, okay, but here's what you're going to do. Oh, I know. Okay, go ahead. Because now I'm just like, go ahead. And we'll see how that works out for you. He comes back. Why did you do it this way? I don't know. Well, if you would have listened to me, you would have known what to do. So Solomon's first instruction to his children is not something to go do. It's something to just, it's submit, it's listen, right? My son, hear. That word hear is the Hebrew word shema. In fact, when we were in Israel, we began every day and ended every day with singing the Shema. It's a prayer in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, Eloheinu, Echad, Elolam. I can't remember the last part. But it's a prayer. There's 2 most holy prayers in all of Judaism. And the Shema is number 1. And then there's another one. It's posted in pretty much every synagogue. And it's based out of 3 passages of scripture, one of them being in Deuteronomy. And it starts with that word Shema because it's the word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And that's a prayer that is prayed in Judaism every single day. And Christians can pray it too because it's in the Bible. But that's what Solomon says. My son, Shema. Now that word Shema, it's spelled Shema in English, but it's pronounced Shema. It means to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention and obedience, to consider, to consent, and to listen. It means to listen with the intent to obey. I'm not just listening to hear what you say until you're done talking. I'm listening intently so that I don't miss what you're saying because I want to be able to follow through on what you're saying. And the first thing that the first instruction Solomon gives, he goes on later to talk about don't let sinners entice you. Don't consent to them. Don't, when they say come with us, but the first thing he wants the reader and the pupil and the student and the scholar to know is, before you go do, hear. Listen, my son, hear the instruction. This is a very important word in Hebrew. In fact, there are 1,160 occurrences of the word Shema in Old Testament. There are 39 books and 929 chapters. Think about that for a moment. There's 929 chapters in the Old Testament, 1,160 occurrences of the word Shema. Hear, listen, with the intent to obey. In fact, I want to look at Mark chapter 12. I understand the New Testament is written in Greek, and we'll work through that, okay? Mark 12. Then one of the scribes, who would have been a Hebrew person, a Jewish person, came to Jesus, having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them all well, and he asked them, "Hey, what's the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Notice that Jesus did not omit, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one," and just skip to, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." This is included in the first and the greatest commandment: hear. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God is one. And then out of that, you love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul. I heard someone say one time, could it be that the first commandment is not to love the Lord your God, but to hear? Hear? Listen? And you say, okay, but that's in Greek. Now, Jesus was most likely trilingual. That means he spoke three languages. So someone that speaks three languages, you call them trilingual. Someone that speaks two languages, you call them bilingual. Any bilingual people in here tonight? You speak two languages, Marla? Paquito? Is it Spanish? Yeah. So you call someone who speaks three languages trilingual. Someone who speaks two languages bilingual. Do you know what you call someone who speaks one language? American. You're welcome. So Jesus is most likely trilingual. That means his common everyday language was Aramaic. That's what he would speak in, because that was the language of Judea at the time. He would have known Koine Greek, because that's what was used throughout the Roman Empire. That's what the Bible is written in, is Koine Greek. But then he also would have known Hebrew, because he was a Jew. And for religious purposes, like reading Torah, he would have read it in Hebrew. So a scribe, who was Jewish, who would have read the Old Testament, the Torah, that's the most important part of the Old Testament to the Jews. If they came to Jesus, who is an Aramaic-speaking person who knew Greek, who knew Hebrew, and asked him a question about the Old Testament, if Jesus made a direct quotation from the Old Testament, don't you think he would have quoted it, how he read it, to a Jew, as a Jew, in Hebrew? So what would Jesus have said? The first commandment is, Shema, hear. O Israel, the Lord your God is one. So God makes this plea to his chosen people, hear, O Israel, that I am one, with the intent. So listen with the intent to obey. And Solomon is making the same clarion call as he opens up this book of wisdom, this book of Proverbs. Because if we don't actually hear with the intent to obey, the rest of it is just going to fill up space in our head. It's just going to puff us up. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And so he's saying, my son, anyone that's reading this, listen. Why? Because learning begins with listening. If you're unwilling to listen, then you will stay on the road of stupidity instead of being a student. Because what do students need to do well? They need to listen well. If you don't listen, you won't learn. So Solomon's first command is not an action, but a decision of submission. So often we're like, tell me what to do, tell me what to do, tell me what to do. Hear, listen, so that you will know what to do. Submit yourself to what your father and your mother say. Come and listen with a heart that longs to learn. Don't be stubborn. Don't be prideful. He says, hear what I say to you, and don't forsake what your mother says to you. So don't just listen and practice, but remain steadfast in it as you continue through life. Because I love that that's the next thing he says, is not just hear the instruction. We talked about that word instruction when we went through verses 1-7. Hear the instruction of your father, but also don't forsake the law of your mother. So don't just hear me, but be faithful. Don't forsake it. Don't throw it away. You know, one of the Proverbs is, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Is that we receive training and instruction, and obviously for us, we're taking this straight from the Word of God, which is inspired by the Lord, and it's his instruction for us. And so we're not looking to Solomon, we're looking to God. God's instruction, God's guidance, God's law, what he's given to us. It's like Psalm 119 where David 178 times in 176 verses, or maybe it's 68 and 66. I think it's 78 and 76. He uses the phrase word. I'm going to look it up and see here real quick. It is 176 verses. So 178 times in 176 verses in Psalm 119, David uses the word law, statutes, commands, word, because it's all about, let me not forget that. Revive me according to your word. How can a young man cleanse his way but by taking heed according to your word? I love your statutes, oh God. He's coming back to that because it's God that's instructing him and guiding him and giving him that law. That's where this comes from. Not just from Solomon, but God used Solomon as a conduit to get this wisdom through to us so that we could hear the instruction from not just a father that was a father on the earth, but from our Heavenly Father, our instruction that should come from Him. So these foundational truths that are rooted in wisdom, He says in verse 9, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Now, this is another one of those ancient sayings or idioms that we just don't understand and we don't get. But what he's saying is graceful ornaments and chains of gold in the ancient world, especially in the Jewish culture, were symbols of favor, victory, and status. And he's saying basically, no matter what your socioeconomic status is, if you will hear the instruction that I give to you and you won't forsake what your mother is teaching you to do, you will walk around with wisdom and with favor and with status and as a victorious person. Because remember what wisdom is. Wisdom is skill in godly living. And so he's saying, if you'll listen to what I'm telling you to do and you'll actually apply it, not just hear it, but you'll hear with the intent to do and to learn, then you will have a graceful ornament about your head. You'll have that favor on your life, that skill for godly living that no one can take away from you, because it's not something physical. It's not something of matter. It's not something that can be robbed or stolen or taken. It is something that it transcends physical matter, and it's something that you possess. That's why if you learn we were talking to our children the other day about memorizing scripture. And I told them the beautiful thing about memorizing scripture is memorizing scripture. And that, let me just say this, that is a skill and an art in Christianity that needs to come back. The old saints could quote to you chapters of the Bible, right? Part of it was because there wasn't that instant access. Well, I can just pull it up on my phone, right? But I was telling my children, the beautiful thing about scripture memorization is no one can ever take that away from you. God forbid, if there is a day that this book, like it is in other countries, becomes outlawed, what you have committed to memory cannot be taken away from you. You may not have the pages of it anymore that you can turn to. You might not have YouVersion app on your phone. But remember what David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, let the word of Christ dwell inside of you richly, right? We need to commit this word. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil, he responded with, it is written, it is written, it says. He had portions of scripture committed to his memory deep inside of him that he could pull up from a deep well to extinguish the temptation of the enemy. And we in the same way can do that when we will put these things to memory. But Solomon, he parallels hearing instruction of the father and not forsaking the law of the mother with symbols of ultimate status and success. And I truly believe this, that the most successful people aren't the most accomplished in the eyes of man, but the people that are devoted to the heart of God. And we have to change our status of success. I always say Paul because I teach from Paul's writing so much. Solomon is saying, if you will hear with the intent to obey and you'll be faithful to it, you'll be devoted to God and what he's saying and what he's calling you to do, you will be successful. It may not look like it to people. You may not have actual garland around your head. chains of gold. They call it ice now. That's what my boys tell me. When you got a chain, it's ice. You may not have physical things like that, but in the eyes of God, He'll see you adorned in beauty because your character is pure, because you have integrity, because you love Him, because you're obedient to Him. The most successful people in the eyes of God are not always successful in the eyes of man, but the people that are devoted to the heart of God are always successful in the eyes of God. There was a man years ago, a young man, who was hungry for spiritual guidance, and he was facing many quandaries in his life. And he got the opportunity to sit down with Mother Teresa. My goodness, what a hero, right? And so he thought, well, I'm just going to tell her my heart and tell her all my problems and ask her what to do about it. So he pours his heart out before Mother Teresa and he ends his statement with, "What do I do?" And her answer was, "If you spend 1 hour a day adoring our Lord and Savior and never do anything that you know to be wrong, you will be fine." Isn't that simple? But it's beautiful. Every time I read it, every time I say it, I get chills because I'm like, my goodness, it's that simple. If I would literally just devote an hour of my time a day to adoring Jesus. My dad always says, what you behold, you will become. So we should, that's why it says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. If we will keep our eyes fixed on Him and adore Him and never do anything that we know to be wrong. How do we learn what is right and what is wrong? By hearing with the intent to obey. Never do anything that to be wrong. We will be okay. Could it be that we don't hear wisdom or we don't in instruction or we don't wear graceful ornaments around our head or chains of gold around our neck in the eyes of God, not physically speaking, but figuratively speaking. Because we don't take time to stop, to pause, to reflect, to meditate, to adore God, to read His word. Let me ask you, if you're too busy to read the word of God, let me just encourage you. You need a lifestyle change. Something's got to give. If you don't have time to open up the book, if you don't have time to pray, I would love to pray. I just don't have time to pray. Then something needs to give. Something needs to go away. Because you can hear from God when you're in your car. You can hear from God when you're at work. But there's something about stopping and listening. Remember what it says in Psalm chapter 46, verse 10? God speaking, "Be still and know that I am God." That's a command straight from God. The psalmist didn't say, "Be still and know that He is God." God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Something He told us to do. In fact, I may have told y'all this Sunday, but we've been going kill the killer on Sunday mornings. This Sunday, we're going to kill the killer of conceit, of pride, vanity. And then the next week, we're going to kill the killer of hurry because we all struggle with hurry. Hurry is violence to the soul. We've got to learn how to stop, pause, hear, listen, meditate, glean from the Lord. Listen, if you never come to a complete stop at a stop sign, you struggle with hurry. Do you need to get anywhere that bad, right? If every time you get in the checkout line, you're looking for the shorter line to jump into, you need to slow down, okay? All right. Stop, listen, read His word. Here's another important thing to do. Listen for the voice of God. Enjoy just being with Him in His presence. Because I've learned that life lies to us and tells us that something else is always more important. But you have to ask yourself this question. What's more important than the worship of our Creator and the well-being of our own soul? Nothing. We would all answer nothing. Nothing's more important than worship, but we live every single day like everything else is more important. We give more time, more energy, more attention to him. And that's why our anxiety is growing instead of our adoration of God is growing. We have to ask ourselves, why is Fox News more pertinent than reading a psalm? Why is a social media feed more enticing than feeding our soul with the wisdom of Proverbs? How is it that email demands more immediate attention than reading the words and movements of Jesus through the Gospels? So my encouragement is simply this, and I'm wrapping up. Before you do anything, every day, Shema, hear with the intent to obey. Oh God, what do you have for me today? What do you want from me today? Listen with the intent to do. Don't just do life. Find out how God wants you to do life. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10? The thief comes only to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He wants you to have an exceedingly abundant life. That type of life that in Proverbs 4:23, it's talking about above all else, guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. God wants you to have a healthy spring. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, that when we take time to stop and to pause and to meditate and to listen and to adore God, our soul is getting filled with the thing that's supposed to flow out of us throughout the day. So ask him, what do you have for me today, Lord? You know what? I guarantee you, if you will start every morning like that, you'll be glad you did. Because life with God, life through God is so much better. Because if he doesn't really have precedence over your schedule, is he really Lord? If he doesn't have the ability to tell you where to go, what to do, what to wear, you know, what to say, whatever. Live life listening for the voice and instruction of our Father who loves us deeply. Remember how Solomon said it, my son. You know that God, all throughout the Old Testament, even though the phrase Father as in reference to God is only in the Old Testament three times, it's in the New Testament hundreds of times. He's known as, we take for granted the fact that he's Father, right? Romans 8, through the Spirit we cry out, by the Spirit of adoption we cry out, Abba, Father, okay? It's that we have, the, we see him as Father. In the Old Testament, it says in the book of Jeremiah in one specific place, oh, that I longed for you to call me Father. But they rejected him over and over again as Father. They didn't want him to be their Father. We've got to come back to the place where Jesus said that we have to have childlike faith and listen to him say, my son, my daughter, Shema, listen, hear with the intent to obey. If you'll listen for God, trust me, through his word, he still speaks in a still small voice. He still guides. He still shows. He still leads. The question is, are we listening? Are we hearing? So before Solomon gives any warning, any instruction to go do something, he says, first thing I want you to do is listen. If you'll listen, you won't forsake it. It'll be favor on your life. It'll be a graceful ornament around your neck, and it will be a blessing on your life. Amen. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Next week, we're going to cover the rest of Proverbs chapter 1. And then the next week, Jordan's going to be with us, and I can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say through him. If you would, just lift your hands, and let's just pray together tonight. Father, we ask that you would help us to hear. In the midst of hurried life, in the midst of busyness, in the midst of stress, God, while we're feeling and dealing with pain, brokenness, insecurity, those are all things that we're going to face. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. I pray that you would help us to stop and to listen, to hear your voice, to hear clearly from you what you have for us and what you want from us and what you want through us. And so, Lord, tonight we commit ourselves to you and we say, we will hear, we will listen, we will do what you call us to do and be who you've called us to be. And we thank you for the great love with which you've loved us and the grace that you've poured out on us so generously. We give you honor and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you, and may you hear and may you not forsake what God is saying and wanting you to learn in this specific season of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Hope to see you guys soon.